Our next guest on Flag Sport Saturday is Andy Greeter, and he's a writer for the Pioneer Press in the Twin Cities. How are you doing today, Andy?
I'm great. You guys?
Doing well. So we're going to lead off right away. Big Ten football is back. They confirmed it earlier this week. What does that mean for not only just the Big Ten, but also Gopher football fans and the players getting to have a fall season?
Yeah, I mean, it's massive news because a month ago, there was no season scheduled. They had called off a 10-game conference-only schedule due to concerns over COVID-19, and the ramifications were that the Big Ten was going to lose their golden egg, which is the TV money that brings each athletic department $50-some million. And it was dark days. It was an ice age for college sports in the Big Ten. And over the last couple of weeks, they've been able to find out that, you know, there have been some advancements with rapid testing, which make it available to know before players take the field for practices or games if they have COVID, which eliminates the need for contact tracing. And they've had, you know, fear of missing out. They've seen college football games go on in other places, and they don't want to lose that cash cow that is the TV and media rights. So with a 9-game schedule that they're going to try to start playing by the end of October, they're going to, you know, get that revenue source and provide that entertainment for fans.
All right. That kind of leads into my next question. You answered that a little bit, but how much of this has to do with wanting to get the players back out on the field so that they can have a season and seeing the progress of that versus, you know, maybe with dropping three men's programs now for the U of M, we just need to get some revenue in there. And is it more of a money decision or a student decision, student athlete?
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting question. I mean, publicly people with the Big Ten will say, hey, we understand health and safety better with rapid testing, with understanding of myocarditis, the heart inflammation that's looked at as a potential, but now increasingly suspect symptom of COVID-19. And the fact that, you know, these athletic departments in the Big Ten need this revenue to be able to sustain the other sports and the primary sports being football and men's basketball. So, yeah, I mean, there's the loud part that is the need to be able to play these games from a health and safety standpoint. And then there's the quiet part that is the fact that, you know, they need this money. And that's what this is at the end of the day. We can talk about amateurism, but there is big money involved.
Mm-hmm. So when it comes to it was men's tennis, gymnastics, and track and field, with having the football season back and getting some of that revenue money, is there hope for those programs to possibly not be cut at the end of this next school year with that? Or is it still, they're just planning on that right now with Mark Coyle and the crew at the U?
Yeah, so going into this, they were estimating a $75 million loss on a $123 million budget. And although, you know, they're going to be able to come back here at the end of October, Mark Coyle said earlier this week that their losses are still going to be in the tens upon tens of millions of dollars. So they're still going to be cutting these three men's programs. And there is the financial implication of saving a couple million dollars. I think it's about $3 million a year by cutting these three sports. But there's also the Title IX implications of the fact is they need to get more in line with the federal law that says you need to have the same amount of men's athletes as female athletes with a little give and take. And for a long time, they've had many more men's athletes than female athletes, but the student demographics at the U of M have shifted to be 54% female. So the numbers are that they need to cut men's sports regardless, and this is something that they've known for a couple of years now, and this pandemic provides financial reasons on top of a Title IX reason.
Okay. We also had some big news that broke earlier now with in regards to Gopher football, getting one of our top receivers back that had declared for the draft initially, Rashad Bateman. What does it mean for Tanner Morgan, PJ Fleck, and that crew to have such a bona fide top-tier All-American receiver coming back for this season now?
Well, I mean, it's still to be determined. I mean, Rashad Bateman is signed with an agent, which per NCAA rules makes him ineligible to play this year. But there is a student reinstatement process that he can go through. And if the NCAA determines that, you know, given the extenuating circumstances of the pandemic, that they're going to allow people to be reinstated and give them waivers to play right away, then Rashad Bateman can come back and play. So they're exploring the option. He's not guaranteed to come back. And I wonder, because in the reinstatement process, there's clauses in there that talk about what sort of things have been exchanged, money, gifts, those kinds of things that have come from the agent to the player, which could impact the eligibility status of just flat out signing. That's one thing. But if you accept something on top of that, that could complicate things. Now, you guys might remember Chase Young, who accepted a gift from an agent and was ruled ineligible last season. But then he repaid those things and was set out a few games and then was able to come back for the Buckeyes. So hypothetically, if there was something that was exchanged between Rashad's agent and him, maybe there is an avenue that if he, kind of gives that back, he could get back on the field. So the ball is advancing from the Gophers. If Rashad, who's enrolled at the U of M and wants to come back, if that ball goes over to the court of the NCAA, we'll see how they return it. But we've seen a lack of leadership from the NCAA and some really gray area on what waivers get accepted and what don't. So a lot to be determined yet before we know about Rashad Bateman's eligibility.
Andy, Jace Denman here. When it comes to those players that are currently eligible to play this now fall season, what is the upcoming practice schedule? Have they already started practicing? Have they had some spring fall practices in August before the season got canceled? Or how is that set up? I mean, do they already have a schedule in mind to get ramped up for hopefully an opening game on October 17th?
Well, they had a few practices in August before the season was canceled. And they've been able to go, I think it's about 10 or 12 hours per week, a lot of walkthroughs, a lot of individual things, some very light work to kind of bide their time before a decision was made. Now it's going to ramp up here. We'll see what the NCAA determines as far as a acclimatization process and how quickly they can get pads on. But they haven't done so yet. They've still got, I think it's about 5 weeks, and they're going to kick off October 23rd or 24th. And the schedule is still yet to come out on when that's going to be. But they've got enough time, I think, to be able to get up to speed without a problem. Now, you know, spring ball was canceled, I think, a week into it, so they don't have that as well. So some of the needs that they have on the field and guys that they're going to have step up for in the roles of Antoine Winfield Jr. and Tyler Johnson and the like, those guys are going to be behind the curve, but it's not going to be unlike other Big Ten programs that have had to stop and start throughout this whole process.
Now, kind of going along those same lines, when they do get their season kicked off and going next month, is there any indication as of right now is if they're going to be fans in the stands, like a limited amount, half capacity, a quarter capacity? Has there been any talk on that aspect of Golden Gopher game days?
Yeah, as of right now, there's going to be no fans in the stands at any Big Ten facility. There are going to be a limited number, it sounds like, of family that's going to be allowed into games. You know, the state of Minnesota's Department of Health allows 1,500 fans, and the states are able to do that just based on what their league allows. Obviously, the Twins can't because MLB doesn't have any fans in the stands anywhere. So as of right now, there's going to be no fans, and that's going to be a weird environment. You know, we're seeing it other places around the country where there is a band, there are a few fans, so there's a little bit of an environment. But in college football, especially in the Big Ten and some of these environments, to have massive stadiums like the Horseshoe or the Big House or Happy Valley or Lincoln, and to a lesser degree TCF Bank Stadium, it's going to be a weird environment to have no fans or only a band and some parents.
Absolutely. Now, when we look at the actual Big Ten schedule, you said there's going to be a 9-game schedule. So that's going to be starting mid to late October and running through December. Are we still looking at the two divisions and having a Big Ten championship game at a neutral site, someplace like, you know, Indianapolis or U.S. Bank Stadium potentially? What does the schedule look like for the Big Ten coming up this fall?
Yeah, so it's an 8-game regular season. And then one game at the end, a bonus game, a champions game. That'll match up the East number one versus the West number one for the championship game like we've always seen. And then kind of on down the line, two versus two, three, three, down to seven versus seven. So there's an eight-game regular season and a ninth game at the end, which is December 19th. And the final college football playoff is coming out December 20th. So the Big Ten is going to try to shoehorn nine games in 9 weeks amid a global pandemic that has already seen roughly 20% of games postponed in the first 3 weeks. So they're really going to need to tamp down COVID-19 if they're going to have any shot of getting most of these games in. And if they don't, and one team has to not play, what happens to that game? Does it just postpone? Do they forfeit? Wisconsin AD Barry Alvarez talked on Wednesday, and he didn't know if there was going to be a forfeit or not. So there could be some teams that play all nine games. There could be a situation where some teams only play six. They've got very strict guidelines on if you develop COVID-19, the player is out for 21 days. That could be 40% of a season. And if a program has an outbreak of more than 5% and the community outbreak is 7.5%, they have to shut down for 7 days. And that's much stricter than we've seen in other conferences. So if COVID comes into locker rooms and if the guidelines that they've set, which are steeper and stricter than other conferences, we could see a lot of upheaval. So the goal is to rapidly test and tamp down as much as they can over the next 4 weeks before the season starts.
We're running out of time. The final question I do have for you, you kind of hinted at it in that last one you answered. When it comes to the East-West number one and for each team, and then it goes to the East-West two and three and so on with that, how do you feel about getting that last extra game in during championship week? And do you know if it plays into maybe they're trying to bolster up a couple of the better teams in the conference's records for potential bowl games if we end up having a full bowl season?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, obviously this is about inventory of games to meet the media rights deals that they have with Fox and ESPN. So that's, you know, one major factor here. But yeah, I mean, they're going to want to try to put a team in the college football playoff, most likely Ohio State, and on down the line for the Rose Bowl and other Big Ten affiliated bowls. So yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see, because so much of what the Big Ten has said is health and safety, health and safety, health and safety of student athletes. How does playing in potential sub-zero weather with wind chills in Minneapolis or East Lansing or Madison, how does that jive with health and safety of players for added games, if that's the case? I wonder if they'll try to move some of those games into domes, into U.S. Bank Stadium or Lucas Oil Field in Indianapolis or Ford Field as they go forward here. The schedule hasn't come out yet. We'll see if that's a part of it. But, yeah, I mean, obviously they want to have more games to get more teams into the postseason.